thanks for downloading news and commentary from KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth. You can get more information and support this service at kera.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from TIAA CREF Tuition Financing, managing independent 529 plan, tomorrow's college tuition today, at i529.org/today.
Voters across North Texas cast ballots in municipal elections May 12th. Some were easily decided, but others, one way or another, remain open-ended. Here with me to talk about some of the results, Lori Stahl, a senior lecturer in journalism and former Dallas Morning News reporter. Gorton Jackson, managing editor of the Dallas Examiner, and also 90.1 reporter Bill Zeeble. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Morning.
We should also mention David Cedeno of Diario La Estrella, the Spanish language newspaper published by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, was unable to join us due to a last-minute emergency that came up. Let's start, though, with Farmers Branch Bill. This was perhaps the most controversial issue in the area. Ordinance 2903, requiring landlords to check citizenship before renting apartments. Voters approved the ordinance, along with the two candidates who were backing that as their primary issue. The opposition group reportedly outspent the supporters of 2903, but still it passed by a large margin. You were covering this issue last night. Did anyone give you a sense of why it came out this way?
It was an overwhelming, that's a word pretty much used across the board, overwhelming response from the citizens. And if you talk to the winning candidates who ran on this issue, Dave Koch and Tim Scott, along with Tim O'Hare, who helped write it, one, the citizens aren't as divided as others had said and feared. They're like, you know, in a big way, more than two-thirds or roughly two-thirds saying, you know, just enforce the law. There's a sense that the government isn't doing enough or isn't doing anything, the federal government, which is where this responsibility lies. It's a federal issue. It's a congressional issue. And the argument and the complaint is, they ain't handling it, folks, and so we will. Now, they may have crossed the line legally, and we will hear about temporary restraining orders in place early on in the week saying, no, 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 this can't take place May 22nd. This is going to stop. There are outstanding lawsuits. There are a number of other issues. This will not go into effect in 10 days, as the ordinance says it will. However, there's a strong message from the public that says, well, then fix it. The opponents say, you know, D.C. already knows this. They haven't been able to come up with a solution. They know they have to come up with one. They haven't. So you're still at loggerheads.
If someone from the federal government, someone from immigration had come to Farmers Branch and said, look, we get it. We get the message. Let's just stop it. Would that have made a difference, did anyone say?
Hard to know because, I mean, it really filters down to the folks who live there. It isn't necessarily a leader saying, this is the way and follow me. I think Tim O'Hare certainly put the message out a little less than a year ago, but it filters down and you have various ways to interpret this. Of one, people are afraid of changing the way things are changing in Farmers Branch. It has gone from, over the decades, you know, 100% white suburban community to some segments that are more minority, people of color living in the community, it's now 40%, 60 Anglo other. And then some worry that as the community changes, the property value drops, maybe the education changes. They are not fears that are held up by the numbers necessarily, but there's a sense that things are changing and some people may be resistant to that. And that's one view. The other view is we just want you to enforce the law. You know, we think things will improve if those who are here illegally leave. And we want you to do that. Now, there isn't an overwhelming number of illegal immigrants in Farmers Branch, but one of the council members, Tim O'Hare, brought it up. And it sure hit hard and rang true to enough people that it wasn't just follow the leader, I don't think. It was deep down response from the voters because we had a record turnout.
Mayor Bob Phelps issued a letter he co-wrote with two others. It was only just a few days ago, urging people not to vote for 2903. Did it make a difference one way or the other?
Nope. Now, we're radio, so you want some more context here. No, it didn't. Some people said it was too little, too late. Where was Mayor Phelps 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago? But the message had already sunk in and already taken root among an overwhelming number of voters. In fact, he spoke after early voting had already ended, and you already had a record turnout in early votes alone. So you knew it was an issue strongly resonating with the community, and there wasn't a sense that the early vote overwhelmingly was against 2903. Just wandering through the community and talking to people in businesses and mostly in homes and campaign events, you got the sense that it was overwhelmingly this thing needs to stop, as in illegal immigration, and 2903 will do it and will pay the price if we have to go to court.
As expected, the race for mayor of Dallas is now a runoff. Former construction company CEO Tom Leppard and Dallas Councilman Ed Oakley. Turnout for this election was 75,000 to 80,000 people. Not terrible, but not great. Why the lack of interest, Lori Stahl?
The lack of interest probably was due to the large number of candidates in the mix.
Just too many to get your arms around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that voters, you know, even those who are inclined to want to pay attention, may have been a little bit confused by the number of messages out there. There was no one, no single issue candidate grabbing attention. There was no, frankly, Laura Miller, who has brought people to the polls to cast their ballots for and against in the past mayoral elections.
Gordon Jackson, not a lot of name recognition out there once you get beyond those people who were already on the council.
Yeah, there was no really, really clear front runner, somebody who would take that 50%, you know, on the first ballot. And so opinion went was really spread out. Even in the southern sector, black support for the candidates was even more spread out than usual over all of the candidates. So I think maybe the mindset of some people was that, well, you know, I don't want to vote for the wrong person and screw and mess it all up, so I'm not going to vote at all. That might have been a factor and things. And it was just general voter apathy. And like Lori said, love or hate Laura Miller, you're going to go out and vote, you know, for and against her and things. And there was just nobody with that presidency that stood out.
Record amount of money spent on this campaign. Tom Leppard spent a lot of that money. He also got the endorsement from the Dallas Morning News, and yet still he's in a runoff.
Well, yeah, and he won, and he spent a lot of money. He did spend a lot of money, and according to the southern sector as well, and trying to get as much of the black vote as he can. It seems like he is at least semi-successful successful in this case. You know, the rule of thumb is that the person who has the most money usually does become a contender. So, you know, I think Tom Leppard held true to that to some degree. But there's still some grassroots supports that didn't vote for him, and that I think we're going to see in the next election. We're going to see the candidates, the votes representing the candidates of the losing candidates, as we see which way those votes are going to go. I think it's going to make the race very interesting, because I see a lot of those votes going toward Ed Oakley as well as Tom Leppard.
I was about to say, he's a Southern Sector candidate.
Yeah.
However, Tom Leppard reportedly did well in North Dallas, but he says he's got support in the Southern Sector. Can he cut into Oakley support?
Well, we're going to see, because I'm looking at, the odd man out was Don Hill, the former city councilman Don Hill, with 13% of the votes, almost 10,000 votes. You know, my speculation is most of those votes are going to go to Ed Oakley right there. Now, the other votes, Max Wells, I think you could go either way. I think a substantial vote couldn't go either way. I think most of those votes will also go to Ed Oakley. But then you look at Sam Coates and Gary Griffith, a lot of those votes, I think, is going to go toward Tom Leppard. So there's still no clear-cut winner. We're just going to see how the candidates are going to do in the debates and the runoff debates and things, and have the whole city, you know, monitor those two candidates. And I think it's going to be a close call still.
Lori?
Yeah, I agree with everything Gordon said, but I particularly want to emphasize the fact that, you know, when you add up the votes from the Southern Sector candidates who, you know, aren't going to be in a runoff like Don Hill, I think it can shake out in a very interesting way. And this really will be the first time, not where votes from Southern Dallas matter in a citywide election, but where we have a southern half of the city candidate running for mayor. So I think the potential is here now for things to really come into sharp focus. Ed Oakley represents a southern sector, and you know, the southern half of the city. We have not had that going into a runoff before, and so the potential is there for the contrast between insider versus outsider, northern versus southern, et cetera, to really come into focus. So I hope and think that people will pay a lot more attention during the runoff.
So what are the issues then that come to the fore with a race set up this way?
Well, Ed Oakley, the issues in the southern sector was clearly crime and safety and economic development. Those two hit hard, and I'm anticipating Ed to hit both of those. Ed will probably hit the crime and safety issue first, and then I see Tom Leppert maybe coming with the economic development with his record of corporate leadership and what he used as his platform, you know, minority contracts within his business pursuits, mm-hmm. and things. And so I think you're going to see, you know, that goes. But both of them are going to address both of those issues. Ed Oakley is going to address better accountability for the landlords of the underdevelopment apartments and housing units in the area, which is a definite issue, which definitely will resonate with the southern sector vote.
You're in the Lake Highlands area, Lori. Does the same issue resonate there?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, for many, many years, elected officials who represent Lake Highlands, Bill Blades being the most recent example, have made the point that there's a, quote, oversaturation of apartments up in northeast Dallas. And there's been a strong desire to see some of those go away. So Oakley sent his mailers about getting rid of some apartment complexes to northeast Dallas, not just to the southern sector. He is running, by all accounts, a street-level campaign. You know, he says he knocked on 70,000 doors personally. He is, you know, applying a lot of good old-fashioned shoe leather.
So with all of that money being spent on media, still that grassroots approach works.
Yes, very much so. And Tom Leppert, on the other hand, is running an air campaign, if you will. He's running a campaign largely over the airwaves and the radio waves. He's going to be talking probably more about the big ticket, sort of downtown, quote, business establishment kinds of issues, Trinity River, et cetera. And so I think we'll see maybe an emphasis on different issues.
Bill?
Well, I was thinking that that Ed Oakley also talked about help to elderly homeowners. He had two issues last night. I was at that part of his campaign speech last night, and he said one was, you know, let's get rid of these slum apartments that harbor crime. But he also said we need to help older folks who are worried about improving their properties and their taxes. And so I'm certain that he believes that's a really strong issue that will ring across the city, not just in the south or the north or any other part of the town. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. I'm also, and we will watch this in the next month, curious to see how Tom Leppert's issue of education will play, because he's argued that as his top priority. And usually you don't hear that from a mayor. The mayor says, well, there's the superintendent, then
the two are separate. They don't have anything to do with
each other. Exactly. They have their own
other
elected officials. Yeah. They have their own budget. But Tom Leppert has strongly said, as goes education in your city, so goes the future success of your city. Mm-hmm. So he's pushing that, and I'm sure that will blossom, just as Ed Oakley is pushing his crime and the other issue, and we'll see how that blossoms.
Yeah, in the Monday Night Politics political forums that the Dallas Examiner held last month in April and March, that was definitely an issue, not to just let DISD stand out on his own and just act in his own entity, but for the city to form partnerships and to form a partnership and form collaborations with the education, with the public school system.
So they want to see the mayor more active, as maybe Ron Kirk tried to do at one point.
They want to see the city more active in the education process.
Every mayor's talked about it, but this one really, this candidate, Leppert, wants to do something more.
In the time we've got left, to look at the Dallas City Council, most of the incumbents are coming back who were on the ballot. But I wanted to touch on a couple of races, because there are a number of runoffs in southern sector, but in one of those races, Dwayne Carraway finally won a Dallas City Council seat.
He took it. Well, you know, 2 years ago when he lost to Maxine Thornton Reese, the day after he started his campaign for this year. And so he's been on a 2-year campaign, and he's worked and he's walked the streets. He took lessons from his wife, Barbara Mallory Calloway, who walked the streets and upset Jesse Jones for the state representative this past year. So he's walked the streets. He's put out, you know, and he, even though you might not have seen it in actual campaign dollars, he spent a lot of resources in his promotions and his commercials over the last 2 years, and it just finally paid off for him.
Couldn't hurt that he didn't have as many challengers as did some of the others in some of these runoff races. One also I wanted to touch on, District 5, Betty Culbreth and Vonseal Hill. Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price supported Hill. Culbreth, who worked for Price before heading DFW Airport Board, Dallas County Health Department, Dallas Housing Authority Board, is regarded as an ally of Mayor Laura Miller. She is quoted in the Dallas Morning News today as saying, "I'm getting ready for a face-off against the black establishment."
Well, you know, and Betty Culbreth, she did rub some people off the wrong way when she supported the Strong Mayor referendum back 2 years ago, and support, and that's where she got her association with Laura Miller, because she supported Miller on the strong mayor. I think that's where the association with Laura Miller should stop with Culbreth, at least in my opinion. But she's shown that she can produce, you know, on the DFW board and all the boards and commissions that she has performed on, and it's going to be a matter of her record against the heavy endorsements that Vonseal Hill has attracted.
But does Laura Miller leave sort of a long shadow to get from underneath?
Well, I think Betty Culbreth has got a month to get rid of that shadow, because right now I think that shadow is more of a liability than an asset.
Okay. Gordon Jackson, the Dallas Examiner, 90.1 reporter, Bill Zeeble, Lori Stahl of SMU, formerly Dallas Morning News. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
A reminder, KERA and CBS 11 will host a mayoral runoff debate. That will be on Thursday, May 31st at 8 p.m.